Good morning, everyone, here on Tax Day. Yes, it's April 15th. If you haven't filled out your 1040 form, you still have some time. Yes, you still have some time, and we're here to help. Yes, we are here to help. The government, are they here to help? How do you feel about the government? We're actually looking for your comments. There's no comment line at the bottom of your 1040 form. Maybe there's a reason for that, because the comments you have about your government are actually buried in the way you do your taxes. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE with your comments. Add up all the numbers and tell us what your comment is about the government this year. Or you can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. I'm here with Lynn Scher, who's in for Adoree Doge.
Lynn Scher, who has paid her taxes. Thank you very much.
Is not a cheat, right?
Not even a little bit. I'm so honest.
And that's because you're moral, right? Because cheating is wrong, right?
Deeply moral.
That's right. Or it's because you can get punished for doing it. Is that maybe why you're not a cheat?
I'm scared of going to
jail. Scared. So you're scared and moral.
All of the above.
Are you a little angry about the government and AIG bailouts?
Only about some of it.
Causes you maybe.
A little sense of betrayal.
Yeah, okay. Maybe you'll change the addition maybe on your taxes.
Could I just go back and say, I filed my taxes and I'm honest?
Trying to avoid an audit here on The Takeaway is Lynn Scher. Joining us now is Dan Ariely, James B. Duke Professor of Behavioral Economics at Duke University, author of Predictably Irrational. He joins us from Toronto this morning. So I guess you're up there in Canada to escape the IRS, Dan?
Yes, just in case after this talk they want to audit me.
I see. Very good. Well, it's a multi-billion dollar question whether Americans are inclined to pay their taxes because of the way they feel about the government or inclined to cheat, not report, ask for too many deductions because the tax system is voluntary. And so the behavior of Americans bears directly on what the IRS takes in. What is the likelihood that Americans will cheat on their taxes, especially in these challenging economic times, Dan?
100%.
100%? Really?
So every year, the IRS, basically last year, they thought that they didn't get about $360 billion compared to what they expected to get. So this is not a new phenomenon. We're not just talking about this one year.
Sure.
But I think this year might be particularly interesting because of exactly what you said, that when people are thinking about the taxes, the tax code is so ambiguous. It's so difficult, you know. You go out for dinner with somebody and you talk about work. Is this a dinner expense? Is this a business expense all of a sudden? The tax code is so long and so complex that it leaves a lot for our interpretation, a little bit like financial instruments. And in the same way, when people have this ambiguity, the question is, how are they going to interpret their situation? And we've done all kinds of studies showing that when people are angry and revengeful, they are more likely to reinterpret the information in a way that is selfishly good for them. And I think this could happen this year when the tax gap, the difference between what the IRS think they should get and what they actually would get, will go even higher.
Now, this is something that you've studied scientifically, and I guess the question is, based on your research, is there anything you can do to the actual tax form itself? Change the color of it, make it, squeak if you do something wrong, or change the font on the tax form that would actually discourage people from cheating or cause them to think again?
So I think there are kind of two interesting answers to this. The first one is we've done all kind of studies showing that when people sign up front rather than sign at the end, they become more honest.
Really?
And
Whoa.
The idea is that the signature gets people to think about their own morality. So we can get you to sign at the top. We can ask you to say, how did your parents raise you? How important was honesty to them? But perhaps a more interesting one is to replace the first question on a tax form and ask people whether they would contribute $25 to a fund to fight corruption and dishonesty. And if you answer yes to that form, then you've just committed to being honest and fighting corruption, and you might continue doing so.
$25?
And if you answer no, $15, okay? I'll give you this.
All right, fine. But you've actually done experiments where these kinds of pledges and signing at the top and a sort of a get everyone committed to anti-corruption actually does predict whether people are likely to cheat or not, right?
That's right. So we did some studies, for example, with insurance form that people declare how many miles they drove last year. And if they sign at the top of the form, they basically are 15% more honest than if they sign at the bottom of the form. So there's a big difference, which is kind of similar to the tax gap in terms of percentage. But I do have one more idea, which I think is actually more important. When I first filled my taxes, I thought this was just a great American procedure, a ritual, that once a year you get to think about your income, you get to think about your taxes, You get to think about your government, what's good about it, what's bad about it. If you need to be angry, you'll get angry. I thought it's kind of a great idea for civil engagement. But over the years, I realized that the way the tax code and the complexity is so on, it's not a civil engagement exercise at all. Instead, what happened is it's just a fight with the numbers and frustration and anger with all this complexity. So I think that if we made the tax code simpler to start with, and on top of that, we gave people a chance to say, look, here's 5% of your tax money. How do you want to allocate it as a citizen? Tell us how you think it should be. I mean, roads, infrastructure, green energy, education, research, whatever it is.
Rebate.
It would give it back, make it back into rebate. It would make it back into a civil engagement exercise, which I think is could potentially be so important and useful.
Let me ask you this. You're talking about the people who do file. These sound like cool ideas. What percentage of people are out there still who don't file at all because they don't believe that the income tax is legal? Any number of them go to jail every year, but aren't there a lot of people who just say, I'm not filing, I don't have to?
It's a very small amount. It's a very, very small amount who are big cheaters. In fact, this is kind of something we find very generally, is that we make lots of headlines and pay a lot of attention to the bad apples. You can think about Madoff and so on. People who don't pay their taxes. But the majority of the financial burden of cheating doesn't come from those individuals who don't pay at all. It comes from lots of people who are just shading their taxes just by a little bit.
So it's that little bit shading that is really, really the economic drain on the IRS. Okay, I'm doing some math here, Dan. You have scientific data that suggests that a 15% reduction in tax cheating could possibly accrue by simply putting the sign line on the 1040 form at the top versus the bottom. That's what you've just told us, right?
We did it with a different form, but the implication is that we could have similar ideas.
So have you called the IRS and said, hey, guys, simple tweak, 15% cash money?
I did. I actually called the IRS first when we found these results with the students. And, well, they said they have better things to do. And they're probably right.
So, and by the way, how much does it cost to reprint all the tax forms and move the signature up to the top? That's got to be a bit of a price, right?
I don't think so. You know, they have to print new forms every year anyway.
I know.
And they change them. But
we have better things to do. Nice.
To talk to me. Are you trying to get me into trouble here?
No, actually, you should at least apply for a grant. Go to the NSF and say, well, if the IRS won't listen to me, I should at least get $50 million to investigate this.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the IRS is actually very worried about their image. You know, everybody has a kind of a really bad feeling about them. I mean, imagine you worked for the IRS and you went to a cocktail party and somebody said, what do you do? And you said, I work for the IRS. How would you feel about it, right? It's very, very tough. So, in fact, they are doing lots of efforts to try and be good to people. They are spending lots of money trying to investigate all the people who are mistakenly overpay their taxes, particularly people from low SES groups. They're spending a lot of effort trying to get lots of tax preparers that overcharge, again, particularly poor people for tax preparation and the confusion in what they're doing. So they're actually spending a lot of effort trying to be good rather than trying to be cops.
Well, in fact, the head of the IRS, I've heard him on a number of interviews, both television and radio, saying, look, if you can't pay, it's all right. Just send in the form. You know, we'll get back to you. We're going to work with you. Does that help to reduce cheating? Does that actually result in any sort of monetary benefit, or is it simply about allowing those people to actually talk to people at cocktail parties?
Yeah, no, I think it doesn't help. I mean,
part of
the IRS, part of its charm is its fear. And when the fear goes away, some of the teeth go away as well. And there was
So then there is no way for them to improve their image. If you're saying they operate on fear, then they can't blow that, right?
I think they need to operate on civil engagement, right? But basically saying they're not really improving their image by saying we're nice people and they're taking the stick away. I think the right way is to get us to feel somehow that this is a social commitment that we all need to be in some way. It's like a run on the bank. If we all decide to pay less, we're all suffering from it. And if we all decide to contribute, everybody is benefiting.
Now, isn't that a little pie in the sky, though, that tax time is going to become this sort of ritual of thinking about citizenship and, gosh, aren't we great Americans here?
It is, but isn't it nice to at least strive for it?
All right. It works better. I mean, if they won't move the line where you sign for 15% increase in taxes,
at least the 5% contribution. Yeah.
All right, good. And it sounds very Obama-esque. Dan Ariely, of course, James B. Duke Professor of Behavioral Economics at Duke University, and author of Predictably Irrational in the diaspora there up there in Toronto, Canada. Avoiding the IRS? No, not Dan. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Take care.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.